Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive, formerly Kingdom Builders Christian Center, located at 3100 Trotter Road in Columbia. And now, a message from Pastor Norman Curley.
I want to talk about love. And it's, no, this ain't just any message. But I want to raise a four transformational question. These questions are designed to help us prepare our hearts and our faith to receive the Word of God. Here's some transformational questions, and I'm going to give you a scripture to go with the question to help you answer if you are a believer, if you are a Christian. The first one is this: can I love like Jesus loved? That is a question of ability. Can I love like Jesus loved? Well, Philippians 4:13 says this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Another transformational question is, will I love like Jesus loved? Now, I changed it now. It said, will I love like Jesus loved? And this has to do with attitude. 1 John 4:18 says this: whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. In other words, love is the proof of your salvation. Another one is, why should I love like Jesus loved? This is a question of motivation. 1 John 4:11 says this: dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And the last one is this: how can I love like Jesus loved? This is a question of demonstration, or we call action. 1 John 3:18 says this: dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. I want to talk from the thought, the attitude and motivation of divine love. The attitude and motivation of divine love. 1 John 4:16 reads like this: God is what? Love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Listen, believers, we cannot get away or make no excuse to justify in any way why we should not walk in love. If you are a follower of Christ, if you say you are born again, we have no excuse, no reason why we should not be committed and disciplined to walk in love. Here's the challenge today for followers of Christ, is that we are often labeled by the world and worldly religious people that we call ourselves Christians, but do not love. You ever heard that before? Yeah. You call yourself a Christian, but you do not love. Now, this is where God's people have to challenge this judgment with a question, because they are judging us. But yet they tell us who gave us the right to judge. But yet they're judging us when they say we don't love, but we call ourselves Christian. Our response as Christians should be this: how do you define love? Or what is your meaning of love? That's an important question to ask the person who challenged you relative to the fact if or not you are a person of love. Because biblical love is not a license to abandon truth, to water down truth, or to diminish truth, or to, get this, delay truth. The present day church growth models, how many know there are models out there to show you how to grow a church? And most of the present day models that are out there to grow a church, they work. They grow churches. They call churches to elevate. Listen to what I'm saying. What's the challenge with these models? The challenge with these models is simply this: they take on the present day humanism approach, where the focus is not on magnifying truth in the context, but to focus on self-expression, self-empowerment. They're very motivational. They're very encouraging for a person to feel what? Good about themselves. For a person to what? To look at life like, I can go at life and I can be successful. And people are very attracted to that. Why? Because it's about me. God never called us to delay truth, to say, let's make sure that in this setting now, we're not going to preach a gospel that shines light on darkness. We're not going to do that right now. Because why? We want people to be comfortable. We want people to what? To come. And nobody wants to come to have what? God to deal with them about them. But here's the premise. They believe that this is love talk. Non-offensive, non-challenging, but it's love talk. But biblical love is about expressing truth with an attitude and motivation of divine love. We never diminish truth. We call it what? Watering down the gospel. Make it non-offensive. So nobody will ever challenge any lifestyle that I have. But let me have a good moment with God. Jesus said he's the light of the world. I want you to get the metaphor. What is Jesus saying? Jesus was not saying he bring daylight. That was already here. Jesus said he bring truth to a dark world. So we have to know the difference between what I call divine love and worldly love. I think that's what's happening with these models is that they're confusing divine love with worldly love. Divine love is opposite of worldly love. How? Divine love is Christ-centered. Worldly love is self-centered. Why do you think many relationships, even marriages, don't work out? Not that these are bad people. Not that people are evil. What? Self-centeredness. Marriage is about what? The husband seeking how he may please the wife, and the wife seeking how she may please the husband. It's called partner pleasing in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But when that is no longer happening, couples can get to a place, one partner feel like, I'm doing everything to satisfy them or to accommodate them or to please them, but they're neglecting me. So what? That's not fair, so I'm going to take care of me. All that's centered around that self-centeredness. So divine love is Christ-centered. Worldly love is self-centered. Divine love is unconditional. Worldly love is conditional. I will love you based on conditions, right? Divine love functions out of a spirit of humility. Worldly love functions out of a spirit of pride. Don't you know it's hard for some people to say I love you? Pride keeps us from being loved. When somebody do something to us, pride comes to the surface. Holy Spirit can tell you to go and apologize. Pride comes to the surface. Holy Spirit can say, let them know this has happened, but I want to ask you to forgive me for this part I played in it. But pride comes to the surface. I want us to listen to three sets of scriptures here, and then we're going to unpack it. But I want you to listen to this, because worldly love will cause people to walk away from an assignment that's God ordained. Listen to what Paul said to this gentleman who was serving in ministry, who was serving in the kingdom of God, in 2 Timothy 4, 9 and 10. Listen to this. He said, do your best to come to me quickly. He's talking to Timothy. For Demas, now this is not demons now. This is demons. This is a person name. For Demas, because what? He loved this world. Stop right there. Because, that's the condition. That's the reason. Because he what? Loved this world. So get this. He definitely didn't love God, because the word of God said you can't love God and the world at the same time. Because he loved this world, what happened? Has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Why did he leave, Paul? Because he loved the world. It doesn't mean he loved the sun, the moon. No. He loved the ways of the world. He loved the pleasures of the world. He loved what the world had to offer him. And therefore what? He walked away from the things of God. And how many know that's happening today? People are walking away from God because of love for the world. Demas, he loved the world. Listen to what Jesus said that's going to happen in the last days that we're in, that's showing the times of Christ's coming is imminent. Matthew 24, 11 and 12, it says this, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Listen, false prophets, teachers, preachers are going to arise and lead many astray. Why? And because of lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will do what? Grow cold. Now you got to see what Jesus is saying. Jesus uses the word, the Bible uses the word lawlessness, but it's talking about immorality. It's talking about sin. What he's saying is that sin is going to become so accommodating within the society, within the world, within the culture, until people are going to lose a passion for God. They're no longer going to love God. They're going to be cold toward the things of God. They're going to be insensitive to the things of God because of what? The increase of lawlessness. Listen, in our world today, we were talking about some of us grew up you know, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and we knew that there were certain things that we grew up with that we did and didn't do, that today's generation is like normal behavior. And one of the things we said was we had this thing relative to the Bible. I didn't read the Bible growing up. I wasn't raised up in the church, but there was one in the house. And what would happen is whenever we get in arguments or dispute with our siblings or whatever, some is missing, somebody stole something, there's a level of conversation that goes on to try to find out who may have done it. And all of a sudden, somebody get bold enough to go get the Bible. And when they bring the Bible and say, put your hand on the Bible. See, some of us grew up with that. And the person that did it going to get mad now, going to get defensive. And what we're saying, why you had to bring him in here? Everything was okay until you brought the Bible in here. Now, because I ain't going to lie and put my hand on that Bible. But times have changed now. You can go get five Bibles. And everybody will put their hand on a prayer. I remember when I went in the military, they had a Bible for us to put our hand on before. I don't know if they do it today, but the Bible. And I think they still use it in the courthouse. What happened? In our society, the Bible had respect given to it, even by us unsaved people. But nowadays, people don't want nothing to do with the Bible. Take it out of our educational institution. Take it out of public places. What's that? Lawlessness is increasing. And the love of many is what? Growing cold toward God. Listen to 2 Timothy 4:3-4. Listen to what Paul says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. How many know we're in that time? He didn't say the time will come when they will not endure doctrine. He says sound doctrine. Doctrine that is based on truth. Teaching that is based on what? On the integrity of Scripture. That's the time he's saying. But after their own lust, this is going to happen. Shall they heap to themselves what? Teachers having what? Itching ears. They will look for individuals. They will go on social media. They will go on YouTube. They will try to find someone who is saying something that they want to hear. And that's how they will decide where I will go. Because he's saying what I want to hear. Or she's saying what I want to hear. But we all should be speaking what? The same language. We all should be preaching what? The same gospel. And this is what's going to happen. They shall turn away their ears from what? From the truth. But wait a minute. But they're looking for someone to teach them. They're looking for someone to preach to them. But at the same time, when they find them, they're going to do what? They're going to turn their ear away from truth and shall be turned unto what? Fable. I want us to grab hold of this because this is where we're living today. This is what the body of Christ is dealing with today. The issue is truth. Are we going to embrace truth? Not are we going to listen to good preaching or good teaching. Are we embracing truth? What does the scripture reveal? This is what the scripture reveals. That worldly pleasures, that is love for the world, has the power to draw people from God's work in witness. The scripture also teaches that an increase of moral decay in a society will bring to the forefront false prophets who will accommodate the human desire and aid in toward a decrease or loss for love toward God. Truth will be attacked and abandoned to justify teachings and doctrines that appeal to the human nature of mankind. I want us to listen because all of this has to be taken into consideration when they tell us that we're Christians, but we don't love. Here's the question. What is your definition of love? How do you define love? Because love is not a license to fulfill lust. Love is really the ability to take truth and express it through an attitude and a motivation of divine love. Remember Paul told the Galatian Christians, I've become your enemy because I tell you the truth. That's where we are today. People will make you their enemy because you tell them the truth. Sometimes parents have a tendency to neglect telling truth to their children because of their children's response. I know if I tell them the truth, they're not going to talk to me anymore. Or they're going to block me on social media. But if you love them, you tell them the truth. Paul had to deal with some Christians in Galatians because what was happening was they began to give over to another gospel. So in Galatians 1:6-7, I want you to hear this. This is what the word of the Lord said. Paul said, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. I want you to understand, a different gospel. But Paul's attitude was basically this. Not that there is another one. In other words, Paul said there's really not another gospel, but there's a gospel that's being preached that you're turning to. Now, the word gospel means good news. So Paul said there is some good news that you are turning to that's not really the good news. And a lot of times there's a lot of good news out there that make people feel good, make them feel encouraged, but don't transform lives, don't change lives. The gospel is a transformational gospel. It is a message of God that brings change in human lives. I thank God that he changed me and God is changing me. That's the gospel. Then he goes on to say, not that there's another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to do what? Distort the gospel of Christ. Notice the word distort. They want to add or take away. They want to readjust it. They want to redefine the gospel of Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, it's happening. It's real. What are we to do? We're to do what Paul told Timothy to do in 2 Timothy 4:2. Paul said to young Timothy in the midst of that kind of culture, he said, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Listen, listen. This is what the gospel of Jesus does. It what? It corrects. See, some people that may have some emotional challenges going on in their life, whenever you correct them, they get defensive or they get discouraged or they get defiant because they take correction as rejection. Correction is not rejection. You and I need correction. Sometimes people go on a job and they're supposed to be in training, but they don't know how to handle correction. And sometimes they know they've done something wrong and they're going to tell a lie instead of just telling the truth. So listen, he tells Timothy that preach the word in season, out of season, this. When people want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it, you still speak the truth. You still preach the word of God. You don't change it based on what? The culture. I don't care how much technology we have, I still like to hold a book in my hand. I still like to open up a book. I still like to say, where is my Bible, not where is my phone? It's so sad today that people will be going to church and come all the way to church and say, oh, I forgot my phone, and turn around and be late for church to go get their phone because they don't want to be without their phone. But I come to church and don't have no Bible and don't even think about, oh, I left my Bible there. Come on to church. And I'm just saying it's the world we live in, right? Says I want us to see because this is the terrain. This is the society that you and I are going to have to express the love of God in. This is the world that we're going to have to bring the love of God to. And either we're going to compromise, which is happening today, or we're going to say, God, you know what? The world changes, but the word stays the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I don't know about you, but I'm a sold out preacher that I'm going to stay with the word of God. Hallelujah. Get this. I don't have to try to reach these young people by cutting up my jeans and put holes in them and putting on me some Jordans and coming to church like that. I don't have to do that to reach them. I can be myself and let the Holy Spirit take the same word that brought conviction in my heart and do it in their lives. I believe it. Somebody said to me one day, oh, you're not going to be able to reach them young people. I believe the Holy Ghost will. I believe the Holy Ghost still got power. I believe the Holy Ghost can convict their hearts. I believe, glory to God, the gifts of the Spirit will still minister to their lives. But people are saying, no, you're going to reach the young people. You got to look like them and you got to act like them. No, I am who I am by the grace of God. I'm going to love them. Notice, Paul tell Timothy, make sure you preach the word so it can correct and it can rebuke and it can encourage. How many know you got to have balance? If all I preached was encouragement, how many know everybody would go, oh, yeah, that church, oh, man, you feel good when you leave. Nobody's lives are changing and we all want to go to heaven. But he said, but with great patience. See, that's what we got to do. We got to be patient. Yeah. Get this. We got to know that what these fads that come through, remember the prosperity message came through about 15, 20 years ago? You hear what I'm saying? Everybody thought they had to have bling bling on in church. Everybody throwing money everywhere and all that. How many know? You just had to what? Just be patient. And I'm like, now you don't hear no more about all that. Some of us know about when we grew up, how many know different fads came through. This is what I'm saying. Older people, don't be hard on young people how they dress today. Because we had our day. And I'm sure our grandmama was in there saying, that boy out there with his chest all out, he's going to have all kinds of arthritis and everything. How many of you told us that? They told us stuff like that. Out there walking with barefoot and out. Okay, keep it up. Wait till you get old. I ain't listening to them. I can go out here like this. Now, boy, how many of boy, you be rubbing them knees. And you be getting out the bed. All that grandmama told me, put a shirt on your back, boy.
You're going out there trying to choke your chest, and all of us had bird chests, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. So what I'm saying is, let's not attack how they dress. Let's not attack that. Let's not attack what their hairstyle may be. Let's not attack their piercings. Let's not attack their tattoo. I'm telling you, these are things that we don't have to focus on. Let's attack their hearts. Let's get them filled with the knowledge of God's word. Let's get them in the things of the Lord. Let the Lord, let the Holy Ghost deal with all that kind of stuff. Amen. I'm not promoting any of this, but I'm just letting you know this is the culture that we are having to reach for Christ. They're not going to look like you. They're not going to dress like you. But we got to love them with the love of Jesus without judging what they look like. Judging this. I can't believe they came to church like that. Thank God they came to church. Am I in the right house now? Yeah. I can't believe they wore that to church. Come on, let's get off that wagon. Let's leave that as a church. Pray for their heart. Let's love them anyway. Hallelujah. Let's go up and greet them and embrace them. And don't be concerned about how they look. Am I in the right house? I'm talking about divine love now. I want to close with 1 Corinthians 9. Paul gives us a beautiful example how to pull this off. He shows us in 1 Corinthians 9 how to really be able to express the love of God in all kinds of terrain, all kinds of cultural settings. So in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 through 27, Paul is writing against the Corinthians who were demanding their rights. That's what they were demanding, their rights. He is showing how he laid aside his rights for the sake of others. That's the background. He had a right path support in ministry. That's what he talks about in verses 1 through 14. And basically what Paul is saying, you know what? Jesus himself said, and I'm paraphrasing, that those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He said that in verse 14. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should do what? Should live from the gospel. Paul said, I got a right to be taken care of by the ministry. But he laid aside that right so as not to be a hindrance to the gospel. In verse 15 through 18, Paul basically said this. I had the right to be taken care of by the ministry, but I told him, no, I don't want to receive anything. I'll keep working, making tents. So what? So that nobody can say that I am preaching for selfish gain. He did not want to hinder the gospel among that people group, but he had the right. But he gave up his right. Saints, sometimes what gets us in trouble is we claim we have the right, but sometimes God wants us to give up that right for the sake of the kingdom. He shares how he had the right to be free from social customs of others and non-moral areas. But he laid down that right aside, enslaved himself to all in order to win them for Christ. In other words, listen. Paul did not compromise the truth. The gospel of Christ or the message of grace at the expense of accommodating human flesh, worldly love and lust. He held up the light of truth with love. Paul didn't do like some of these models today. He's saying, okay, I'm not going to preach the gospel, but I'm going to preach a gospel, some good news, because I don't want to offend people. Paul didn't do that. But notice in verse 19, the first thing Paul said this, though I am free from all men. He gave up his right. He had an attitude that I want to become a servant to all men. But then he said, what? I am free from all men. First thing we have to do is his freedom was purchased by Christ and present in every setting. Listen, when it comes to an attitude and motivation of divine love, you got to know you're free. Don't let the world judge you and try to define and tell you what a Christian should look like. Don't let a world challenge you and tell you because you confront people or tell people the truth that you're not being a loving Christian. Your freedom has been purchased in Jesus Christ. You know in your heart of heart, get this, that you love God and you love people and that you're going to tell the truth and you're going to do it motivated by divine love. Listen to Galatians 1 and 10. Paul said, for am I now seeking to the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Saints, you got to know you've been called to freedom. Don't let no one judge you and condemn you and try to define what love is to you when they don't even know divine love. Matter of fact, the reason you're preaching truth is because you love God and you love people. Another thing I noticed about Paul is this. He did not allow cultural barriers to restrict his passion to share the gospel of Christ. Now notice after he said in verse 19a, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more, that I might win them to Christ. And to the Jews, I became a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without the law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. And to the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partakers of it with you. You would think that Paul would be somebody that we would say he's like a lizard. Depends on who they're around. That's what color they're going to turn. Yeah, get this. We call them two-faced. They one face around you and one face around somebody else. No, what Paul is saying, first of all, let's think about some cases. In Acts 16, 1 through 3, Paul, in order to reach the Jews, he asked Timothy to be circumcised. Now, Paul knew that to be a Christian, you didn't have to be circumcised, right? He preached that. He preached it to the Gentiles. But in Acts 16, you wait a minute, Paul, you told the Gentiles they don't have to be circumcised to be a Christian. Now you call in Timothy and say, Timothy, look here, I need you to be circumcised. Paul asked Timothy to be circumcised so that whenever Timothy went and had to lead Jews, he would be able to be hindered in preaching the gospel to the Jews, because the Jews would not have listened to Timothy if Timothy had not been circumcised. So you see how he became all things to all men that he might win them? Did Paul sin? No. He just what? He operated under the Mosaic law when he was with the Jews. Why? He knew that was how they could communicate. He was able to connect with the Gentiles by not talking about the law, but talking about their Greek culture. So we see this, that this is what Paul meant when he became all things to all men. Cultural barriers that Paul make reference to had nothing to do with sin, though. He never accommodated, neither condoned sinful lifestyle. He just what? He took on some of their cultural practices so that he could win them for Christ. The last one is this. The truth he shared was the truth he purposed to live. If you notice, after Paul talked about when he went around the Jews, he went around the Gentiles, he went around the weak, part of the law or not a part of the law, how he made the adjustment. Look to your neighbor and say, make the adjustment. That's not compromising, that's wisdom. That when you're around certain people, you have to make adjustments because you want to do what? You want to connect. You want to relate to them. You want to be able to what? Show the love of Jesus to them. If you know that certain things offend certain people, how do you know? You shouldn't do it. Remember in Romans 14, when those Jews thought it was okay to eat meat offered up to idols, and others said, you know what, bring the meat on, we're going to eat it. You know what I mean? Paul instructed the ones who didn't have a problem to restrict themselves so they can have unity. Sometimes you got to restrict yourself for the sake of unity. So in verse 24 through 27, Paul used an example of an athlete there with those games that they have. We call it the Olympics in our world today, but those Greek games that goes on. And in verse number 27, Paul said, but I discipline my body and bring it under subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? Disqualified. So the truth he shared was the truth he purposed to live. In other words, the things that we share with other people, let's live it out in our own life. And Paul said it takes discipline to do that. Listen, saints, if we're going to walk in love, it takes discipline to do that. Because you can have a situation to come in your life or in your day, and you can be tested whether or not you're going to choose the path of love in that situation. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22, Paul said this, examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. And so in order to have an attitude and motivation of divine love, we got to begin to follow Paul's example. 1 John 2:15, he say, love not the world, for the love of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All that's part of what? The world. But we need to be filled with the love of Christ.
Thanks for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive, formerly Kingdom Builders Christian Center, located at 3100 Trotter Road in Columbia, where Norman Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each and every Sunday for 10 a.m. worship service, and at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, it's In the Word. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 695-1277. That's 803-695-1277. Tune in next time for the Word Alive broadcast.